Rabbeinu Yonah in Avos, in his parish in Avos, gives us some words of wisdom regarding the famous quote of Hillel, who says, "Im larach shavei mosai," that I don't do it right now, so when will I do it? When will be the right time to do it? So he says, gives an example. He says, "Shloyoyma, a person shouldn't say, 'Ani hayoy mosul b'malachti.' Today I'm very, very busy. L'mocha efne v'esig v'sakin esatzmi. I'll work on my spiritual life another time. Now I'm busy with everything that's material." It says Rabbeinu Yonah that the Mishnah novice is telling you, do not delay, because kishem aloy tipona, tomorrow may never come. Many things in life we say tomorrow. It's a many situation. Sometimes you need a vacation also, but you're so busy working, you say, no, tomorrow. And tomorrow's again tomorrow. But the time has just passed you by. And the same thing is certainly when it comes to your spiritual life. You say, tomorrow. He says, don't wait for tomorrow, because shamalei tepana, because you may never really have the time to do it and the ability to do it. And then he says, but more than that, but even if I do it tomorrow, you lost today. So you really cannot ever compensate for the fact that you delay and you wait till tomorrow. Now, I feel in Tipona that even if it works out, that you will find some time and you will manage to do it later. Hayoy mahu, but today cholaf ova ubotl yumavatl. Mavatl that day memlechus Hashem v'lo yuchal l'shal moy kol yomav. You'll never be able to repay it. Why? Because every day you have a new chiv, a new obligation to do for that day. And therefore you can't fix tomorrow, yesterday's day, because today I have to do for today. So every day has its own, right? Has its own situation that you have to really do and achieve. And then you can't achieve today for yesterday, because today you have to achieve for today. Ki kol hayomim ashu chay al adoma, every day that a person is alive, chay v'lesakin atzmoy, a person has to just work on himself for perfection, as close to perfection as possible. Velasi b'mitzvus. Then is another thing. But Hillel says another, if not now, when? So he said, what's included in that also, do it now, means to say, don't wait for old age. Do whatever you want to do, do it while you're still young. He says, if I don't do it the time when I am young, if I leave it for the time of old age, you will not be able to be as successful. In other words, of course, if you didn't, at least do it later. The idea is, don't push it off for later. And he gives a good example. The Ramelo says in Tehillim Kuf Nandalet, he says, "Ashibonenu kinetiim migudolim binoreim." Our children are like young plants. So the Yen explains, what do you mean our children are like young plants? He says, when you plant a tree, a newly planted tree, while it is still, right, in the middle of its development growth, you can bend it to the right, you can bend it to the left, and you're able to control it and basically decide how you want it to grow. Once many years have passed and the tree becomes thicker, becomes fatter, and becomes stronger, then you no longer have the ability, no longer control in terms of that tree. So the Melech says, so explains Rabbeinu Yonah, our sons, Ashibonenu, are like kinetiim and mugudorol and binoreim, like young saplings, like young trees, ki haneta b'oidenu koton, when it's still young, a plant, a tree, or the miyochel legadlo elias eitz yosho, then you're able to control it so to grow straight, where your okum should not be crooked. Achla'ach ashigodol b'ikumoy, but once a tree grows crooked, there's no solution. Kosher who has already become very difficult, ma'od l'sakim. And so he says also, if you want to direct people in the right path, he says, do them while they're still young, and while you're able still to be able to teach them the right way. But usually a person becomes set in his ways. The person lives his life in a certain pattern, very difficult to change patterns, and therefore one should not delay for a later time. And then he says another thing. Even if a person manages, let's say, to do tshuva at a later date, which is great, at least now, he's doing tshuva now. However, there's a big difference when a person wakes up and does tshuva at an early age or later. You know why? Because he says very interestingly, ki atshuva b'mezikno, when you do tshuva upon old age, he says, it's not as perfect as at young age. You know why? Because at old age, you do not have the same yetzer, you don't have the same desires that you had when you were young. Which he means to say is, when a person right all of his early days of his life, when he was warm-blooded, right, and had all the various temptations and all the various desires. So later in this tshuva, but he's doing it at a time when he doesn't have the same desires. So it comes out that the tshuva is not on the same level as when he sinned. When he sinned, he had the strong yetzer hara. Now the real tshuva is that with the same koiches, with the same power, with the same like constitution that a person has when he does the aveira, he's misgabber on that yetzer hara, right? He overpowers it and does tshuva. But doing tshuva, he says that always, he says, it's not the same. Ki ba'oisa is man ena yetzer chozok. His hara is not so strong. Vatayv in the kiyah. It doesn't have the same desires. The emor chofes bahanoas waveris. So it's easy to do tshuva. You have no desires. I'm not going to do tshuva. I should do tshuva. But when a person does have desires and is driven to pursue certain interests, so then if he's able to do tshuva, that's what tshuva means. Tshuva means that you don't allow your yetzer to take over. To do tshuva at your old age, you don't have yetzer anymore. So I'm not going to do tshuva. I don't have the desires to do the aveira. It's quite easy to do tshuva if you really want to do tshuva and so on. He says, there's a mice that they say from Odom Gadol of Tzaddik. There was Rabbi Hillel Kolomayer of Kolomai. He was the Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. He was passing through an old town. And he sees the non-Jew, he sees a guy sitting on a chair, an elderly person, something like 80, 90. And he's crying. So he goes over to him. He says, it's sensitive. It make a difference, a Jew and non-Jew. He goes over to him and says, why are you crying? So he starts to go to the history of that little town. It's a backward town. He says, you know, when I was growing up over here, he says, there was a town, there was no action, things were very quiet, nothing was happening, there was no entertainment, there was nothing to do. He says, now the town has developed, there's a lot of opportunities to sin, but I have no courage to sin anymore. So the Rebbe Kolomai said, that's the difference of how a Yid cries, he says, and a non-Jew cries. A Yid cries because he did sin, and a Goy cries because he's not able to sin. So two people crying. It's called like scoffer. The idea is when you're already older, now you'd want to do a lot of things, you don't remember how to do them anymore. You know, the yetzer isn't working for you. Another thing, when it comes to education, learning, teaching, so there's a Mishnah, and obviously again, the Mishnah says in Perigdal, Elisha ben Avuya, when I was the famous, who turned out to be Acher, actually he went off the derech later, was the Rebbe of Rameir. So Elisha ben Avuya says, Halei Meteir Eliyahu, when you teach Torah to somebody who is young, Lama Hudayme, when you teach Torah to someone who is young, is similar to Lediyoy Ksuve on the Yor Chodesh, like writing on fresh paper. In other words, when you write on fresh paper, the paper takes to the ink and it's absorbed. So that's when you teach Torah. Whatever you're going to teach, but we're talking about Torah. So it's absorbed. It's absorbed. It's an impressionable mind. He says the same thing, he says, if you teach Torah young, should be Alduso Tishkach Meliboy. It'll remain there. Halei Meteir Lezokin, but a person already who is an elderly person, his mind doesn't work that well anymore. Lomu Hudaymer, Elisha ben Avuya says that. What is it compared to? L'diyoy k'suva al niyor mochuk. You have old paper, you know, that has been already erased. When paper has been once written upon, then you erase it, you want to write a second time, the paper is like worn out, and doesn't take too good to the ink. And then whatever you're going to write on old paper, it's going to not last, it's going to, time to time, it's just going to like, sort of like disappear, it's going to be rubbed out here and there. So the same thing he says, when a person learns Torah, starts learning at an older age, you know, it just doesn't absorb, you don't retain it that well. And he quotes another quote of Rabbeinu Yonah, another example. When you teach Torah to someone's young, it's like carving it out on a stone, on a rock. When you carve something into a rock, it stays there. When you teach Torah to somebody who's already quite old, it's like trying to shape sand. What happens is, for a moment it stays there, 2 minutes later it just falls apart. There's not a kiyum, it's not durable. He says it's like if a tuach ala choil, when you're doing it on sand, that's the difference. So you might say to yourself, so what's the point? If somebody says, you know, my youth has passed me by. So now it's too late, what's the point? I'm going to forget whatever I'm going to learn anyway. So what's the point of me learning now? He says, don't make that mistake, he says. It really is never too late. It doesn't matter, he says, whether you're going to remember much more or less. You know why? Al-Yayma Hazokin, he said, the elderly person should not say, Hey Nani Eitz Yovish, it's an example, really a dried out piece of wood. Hatera Ein Miskayem Es Biyodi, Loma Ekro, why should I have to read it? The Hevel HaYageya and work for nothing? So when you are become makomo kum schara yitoin, you're going to get the schar for learning, whether you're going to remember it or not, for learning asher lomad v'torach v'osa mitzvah. Doesn't make a difference. You did the mitzvah at the time. You learned. And that mitzvah is forever. That mitzvah is eternal. And it gives a very interesting example. The example is that there were two workers. They were hired by an employer. And the job that they were given is, they were given two pails in order that they should go draw water from the well and bring it back. The problem was that each of the two pails had a hole in it, which means to say that you're going to draw water, by the time you bring the pail back, there's not no water going to be left. The difference was, he says, so one person said, what's the point? He says, what's the point? He says, not going to do anything. The other person said, listen, I was hired to do this. He gave me a pail with a hole, so even when I come back, there's nothing there, but I did what I was told. I'll get paid. The idea is that Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you have to learn Torah. You have to do your mitzvahs. Whether you can remember more, you can remember less, he says, Kodesh Baruch Hu will give you the schar. If your situation is that your pail happens to have a hole, but that's what you're hired to do, draw water with this pail. Whatever you have, the way you are, do the best that you can in the situation that you are, says Rabbeinu Yonah. Echad amar bevechad amamit. Whether someone does more, whether someone does less. Bevad sheyischam libo l'shamayim. As long as you mean l'shem shamayim for the sake of shamayim, he says, you're being in good shape, and get all the schar. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah. So we go now, Rabbi Yisai, here to the Rabbeinu Yonah. We're moving a little bit ahead. It's Daf Lamed Test. It's Daf Lamed Test. Sper Chovov. The previous segment that we were talking a lot about Krishma, a lot of the things that we are quite well aware of, and we want to dwell a little bit further beyond Krishma, which comes to V'haftos Hashem Elokecho. So that's Daf Lamed Test Chovov. Okay, so Ben Yonah says the following. After Shema Yisrael, now Shema Yisrael is, what's Shema Yisrael? Shema Yisrael means where a person is ready to accept upon himself the yoke of heaven, the oil Malchus Shemayim. He's ready to accept upon himself to do right, all the mitzvahs of Hashem. That's what he declares. And also he declares Hashem Echad, the oneness of Hashem. So after that, after the person was already Mekabel oil Malchus Shemayim, right? And Baha Yichud, and he declared the oneness of Hashem. So now what comes the next step? He is now ready to commit in principle to uphold the laws of Hashem, which is Koilo Mishpate Avoida, right, which basically includes all of the various mitzvahs, and the pasuk begins, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecho. We have to love Hashem your God. V'ahavta Hashem Elokecho. So now, what does it mean when we say V'ahavta Hashem Elokecho? So Rabbi Yonah says, Achavona be'omroi. He says, when a person says these words, V'ahavta, what is he accepting upon himself? It means loving Hashem is, you know, as you say, to love someone and there's no follow-up. He says, yeah, I love this person, I love him. Question is, what are you doing for that person? Or when you are you doing it with love? Are you doing it begrudgingly? Are you doing it reluctantly? Are you doing it in the forced way? V'ahavta Hashem Elokecho means, shu'mekabel al atzmoi, that a person actually is committing himself, la'avodes b'roi avodes o'ahava. It means that he's ready to serve his Creator out of love, not out of simply out of fear. And his main kavana should not be loy misar oynish. The reason of serving Hashem should not be simply because of a fear of retribution of punishment. Yes, this is talking about a higher madrega. Of course, the idea is, you know, a person should not have any excuse for not doing the mitzvahs. If it is yiras ha'inish, let that be. As a matter of fact, that's usually where it starts. A person is makai mitzvahs because, you know, he believes that there's an afterlife and he's not going to do the right thing, there's going to be a retribution. The other hand, also, he knows the great schar, the great reward. The highest level is ahavas Hashem, means that the highest level, the person continues to grow, is the level of ahavas Hashem, of avodas Hashem, go to a higher level, where his kavanah is not focusing on the oynish, he's not focusing on the retribution, he's not focusing on the reward. That's called v'ahavta es Hashem Elokecho. Now the truth is, he's saying that when a person says v'ahavta, he's makabel upon himself. Now the truth is, he knows he's not there yet. So when you're saying v'ahavta es Hashem Elokecho, you're saying it every day when you're saying Kriya Shema. Right? Rabbeinu Yonah is telling us here that means he's makabel upon himself, that he's committing himself to serve Hashem clearly out of love, not because of Yiras HaEinish, not because he's a fear of retribution, or because he's looking forward for reward. So the answer is, as Reb Chaim Volozhin says, again in his Sefer Ruach Chaim, not Nefesh Chaim, but Ruach Chaim, which is on Pirkei Avos, Reb Chaim Volozhin says, that a person really, when he says Vahavta, and he's committing himself, does not mean he's committing himself right now. He's committing himself to work towards that goal. That's the point. It doesn't make a difference. You're not there yet. But the idea is a person should set a goal that he should be able one day, hopefully should be able to reach that higher level of Avodah. So Rabbi Yonah says he's makabel upon himself. Really, I'm makabel upon myself. I'm not ready yet. I cannot say I'm makabel upon myself, that I'm not interested about Einish. I'm not afraid about Einish. That's not why I'm doing it. I'm not interested in reward. I'm not that much. I'm not that level yet. So what do you mean I'm makabel upon myself? I'm makabel myself that should be my goal. I'm makabel upon myself that should be my goal ultimately. And we have the famous quote in Chazal, Mitoch Shelo Lishmo Bo Lishmo. Right? You start out for ulterior motives. The idea is just keep doing it. Do the right thing. It doesn't make a difference right away what the motives are, but just do it. And ultimately, hopefully, Mitoch Shelo Lishmo, doing it for ulterior motives, eventually, at the end of the day, Bo Lishmo, you're begging to do it L'Shem Shemai Mamish. So he goes on further and he says, Ki Oivet Es Odon, because the person who serves his master, because the person who serves his master, either because of fear of punishment, or he serves Hashem because he's out looking out for reward, then it means he's not serving Hashem, he's serving himself. He's serving himself. That's a general thing, certainly in the way of the world in general. Right? The person takes a job. They take a job. He's working for an employer, but the truth is, he works for an employer, he's working for himself. In order for me to get my schar, to get my paycheck, I have to do this and this. But his interest is really working for himself. He has to do this and this, X, Y, Z. But now he's working out of the love of it to his employer. He's really out of the love of himself, which is nothing wrong. Yeah, he has to live and he has to work. The same idea is if a person is serving Hashem only because of the reward that is set aside, that is designated, he's not really serving Hashem, he's serving himself. But again, if you're not the Madrega, that's also okay. That's also okay. We're talking about, again, higher level. It's also okay. Just do the right thing, no matter what the motive is. Just do it. But then you're just talking about the goal, about the higher levels. That you understand that Loilo Odom Hoive, that if he does it for the reasons, for Kabbalah Schar, then he's not serving his master, Eloha Atzmoy Hoive. But then truly, he is serving himself. And it turns out that if a Hu Sibas Hu Avodah, it turns out he's performing these services out of the love of himself to avoid punishment, as he says. The Sibas Hu Avodah means that the reason that he's doing all of that, Mahavosoi, Vechemlosoi, either of the love or the pity on his neshama. He's afraid he'll get punishment. He has the love for his neshama, he wants to get reward. That's why he wrote it. That's why he is serving. L'man yinotso min oynish. You want to be spared retribution. L'man yikavel min atoif. And it means, therefore, that v'lo yochush lo'odoin meyiro. In other words, he's really lacking reverence for his master, because his main, again, focus is not serving Hashem. His main focus is for himself. Serving Hashem is just a vehicle, either for reward, or the other way around. He's afraid of the retribution. It turns out that it's not having the reverence for his master, but rather what it turns out is that he's interested what turns out what's really better for him. He is first now in that outlook. So Al-Kain, so therefore, says Rabbi Yoina, what is the true service? Al-Kain, he says, Ein Vavoida. Avodah. The true service of a person is, the true service is Ashiyavod is Boiro'oi Ma'ahava. The true service is that when a person is accomplishing when serving Hashem out of love. Mitoich Yedias Elokusoi. Serving Hashem by recognizing Hashem's godliness. V'chol Gadlusoi V'Rememusoi. Recognize Hashem's greatness. Recognize Hashem's V'Rememusoi. Recognizing His exaltedness. Because he understands that Hashem is the cause of everything that is here in existence. Hashem created and brought everything into existence. The Humelech, he is the king, Moshel the Oda in Alkoil. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the king who rules and is master over all. Umashgiach Alkoil. And he supervises everything. The Kol Yochoil, Hashem is capable of accomplishing anything without restriction. And therefore he understands that Hashem is the only one that royal lavoid that deserves to be served, b'chol, right, mikol, serving him with all our abilities. So components of Ben Yoni here brings out here the idea, the Maila, he says, of serving Hashem, recognize Hashem is the creator of the world, Hashem created him, Hashem has the ability to do everything, Hashem is the supreme, not just the supreme, the only and the supreme ruler, who is the cause of everything that is brought into existence over here. He understands that. And he works his way, he says, to understand the greatness of Hashem, as he says, Mitoch Yediyas Elokusoi, recognizing, loving Hashem, recognizing his godliness. Now what that means also, if you take a look, the Rambam echoes these words in a little bit of a different way. The Rambam echoes these words in Perek Beis of Hilchos Yesod HaTorah. The Rambam says, Heichi HaDerech LaHavosa VYirosoi. What is the way that brings Hashem to love Hashem? It's not just automatically. What's the way? What's the way that a person can encourage himself to love Hashem? And also, yes, to fear Hashem. So the Rambam says, you know how? Bishah she is born in her Odom b'masov, just observe the Maisim of Hashem, what Hashem created. Just observe what Hashem accomplished. Ubuav, the creatures, Hanifloi Magdalen. Look at the Pella de Bria. Look at the incredible, incredible, right, creation in every aspect. The Yiramem Chochmosa, and you see the tremendous wisdom of Hashem, She'elo Erech. The wisdom of Hashem really has no gvul, it has no end. You can never fathom it. But like case, there's no end to it. When a person recognizes, really, the godliness of Hashem, he takes the time to think about it, to really come closer to understand Hashem better. It takes a moment where a person really thinks about, look at the beautiful world that Hashem created. We said many times, Hashem created a beautiful world. It's people who destroyed it and are destroying it. But Hashem himself, we see the wonders of creation. The wonders of creation. To say the seven wonders of the world, every speck is a wonder. It's not just seven wonders. Every speck, every chelik of the bria, every knuckle, every finger, every vein that runs through your body, every animal, every insect, its own climate, its own way. Hashem put these animals here, put these down here. Everything has its own way. Everything has its own mahalach. Every animal has its own food. Just an incredible, incredible thing. And all the different designs, how particular the designs are. There's a particular person here who was in the shul, and he had trouble with his foot. He had trouble with his foot. Had a few operations on the foot. It was below the heel. The metatarsal of a certain area. And he himself is also in the medical field. So he said, I found out, he says, that if one little bone, it's an amazing thing, one little bone just moved a little bit aside, just out of, you know, out of the area of being coordinated, because it's an incredible thing. You know, that foot supports the whole weight, hundreds of pounds. All over there. If it's out of balance just a little bit, he says, you just collapse. That's why he gave me that Moshe thing. We see horses, you know, horse races. When they get injured a little bit in the bottom of the heel of the foot, the whole thing just falls apart. It's going to be a little area. You can't fix it. It's just gone. So a human being, of course, you try as a human being, keep fixing it. But he said how difficult it was, months and months. Just basically, it was just misaligned, a little bit of thing. So exactly how Hashem put it in this place, if it just moved out just a little bit. And that is by human beings, that's by animals, all of these hundreds and hundreds of pounds, and some animals are thousands of pounds that they weigh, the larger ones. And everything is being supported, and it's mamish coordinated. And you see something, just, so if a person really takes a bit of the time, just a little bit to think about it. Now what about the plants, all these millions of plants, the millions of flowers, right, the whole botanical world, and so on and so forth. It's just endless and endless of what Hashem created. So that's what the Rambam said. If you take a moment really to think about it, that of course, you'll come closer to Hashem, so if you want to become connected to Hashem. Hashem allows you to come close to Him. We have to make that journey. We have to attempt to make that trip. And it goes further. So Ben Yoni now. The truth is that Va'af kilo yegia lo'oved hanoa achel bovedosoi. He says, the truth is that even if there would not be any reward at all, the truth is there is endless reward even for one mitzvah. We spoke about that. Rabbi Yehuda mentions it. Pirkei Avos mentions it. But even if there would not be any reward, the truth is if someone really is close to Hashem and serves Hashem in the proper way, the greatest enjoyment, he says, the great just for being able to serve Hashem, outweighs, he says, Rabbi Yonah, any type of possible enjoyment you can imagine. Even if it would be nothing else other than the simcha of doing a mitzvah. Look what he says. Even if it would be true. It's not true. It's true that there is a lot of reward. But imagine even if there would not be. Even if there would be no other hanor, the only hanor he would have, ragzu. The fact is that he has the love of serving the king. Serving a king, but who is someone who mamish, who is so great, and there's no end to his greatness. Ben Yonah wants to point out over here. Ben Yonah really wants to point here that even if he does not realize any personal benefit, if he would not realize any personal benefit other than the pleasure of serving the king, whose greatness is so profound. Would also be enough for him. Okay, again, it's a madrega. If you're tight, you'll find that the great tzaddik and nothing greater in pleasure that they had is being to do a mitzvah and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I said, but then, even if there would not be any other reward, but this alone, the fact that you have the opportunity to serve Hashem, to serve his dialogue bekach, would have been enough. Continues now Rabbi Yonah, and says Rabbi Yonah now, and he says further. The truth is, the ain shir l'simcha sheyesh l'bishas avodah. The emphasis says Rabbi Yonah that there is and there are no bounds. There are no limitations. There are no bounds. They ensure the simcha sheyesh lo b'shas avodah. There are no bounds to the happiness that one experiences by serving Hashem when he does it me'ahava. There are no bounds. Ein shir l'simcha. It is something that cannot be measured. Meroiv cheshkoi v'tavosoi v'ahavosoi v'chendosoi. These are all adjectives of desire. Right? All acts of desire, of love and passion, right? To serve Hashem, the longing to serve Hashem. The cheshik, the taiva, the desire, the ahava, the chendo. Lahava is beroi. Right? Because to love, because he loves Hashem. So he says, when a person reaches that madrega to really serve Hashem, the ahava, he reaches, right, the epitome of avodas Hashem. That is the epitome. Because yavod oivet kvar hishlim choku avoda. That means kvar hishlim choku avoda, he reaches the epitome. You have to realize, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master, who is the bosa. It means to say is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the sibra of everything that takes place, or the other Nevada who oivet. And he's serving then only, he's not serving himself. He's not serving himself because he has any motives. But he's serving Hashem only because it's Hashem. And when he does that out of the love of Hashem, there is no bound to the happiness that he experiences serving Hashem out of pure love, passion, and desire. He says, but the other hand, he says, Gam hine me'atzmoy, he says, Yovoy le'en cheke v'tachlis yischaven elom. What it means is to say is that a person will reach immeasurable heights. There's no telling of how high. As a matter of the Chazon Ish writes in a place in one of the letters, writes the Chazon Ish, that a person who basically comes close to perfection is really like living in the world of the Olam HaOlyon, and he becomes transformed as if he is an angel, as if he is a malach on this earth. Chazon Ish points out that it's possible for a person to change, to reach, right, such spiritual heights that he clearly becomes transformed and he's como a malach, he says, who's walking is on 2 feet here on this world. Ben Yonah is telling us here that he's able to reach le'ein cheke v'tachlis. He's able to reach profound, immeasurable heights. She's chav melov, something you could never even think, something you would never even imagine to the great height he was able to reach. Because when a servant serves his master devotedly, at the same token, Hashem also has, quote, an obligation. Hashem, what you do for Hashem, Hashem reciprocates. Even though the highest level is not to do it for that reason. But be aware that Hashem at the same time, He works for you as well. You're working for Hashem, Hashem works for you back. He says, let's say start again. Works both ways. The servant's kavana is to serve the master. But the master's kavana is to do things which is l'tayelus, and that is, he shields them from punishment. L'shalom lo'y gemuloy. Master plays him for all the deeds that he's done. the Nosam and Oynish, to spare him from all types of Oynshim, Ulekabel HaToy VaHagdolo, and then ultimately to be able to receive the ultimate reward, Hatzfuna LeTzadikim LeOlam Habo, which has been put away for Tzadikim in the world to come. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, this reward is stored away, right, as it says for Tzadikim. Tehillim, we have the Pasuk of Yibavu ben Yoni brought it, Ayin le'ro'asa le'kim zorosha. It is so far from human comprehension to understand what the next world is all about, in terms of all the glory, in terms of all the tainug, in terms of all the pleasure. Only Hashem really has seen it, so to speak. No one on this earth has seen it. Ya'yosa le'mchakeloi. It is something that is reserved for those who anticipates that, and therefore lives his life in a way to be able to reach it. And the other Pasuk in Tehillim says, David HaMelech says, how plentiful is your goodness that you, Hashem, have hidden as a treasure for those who actually revere you. So finally, Rabbi Yoni goes on, he says, finally, we have a brisa tisefte that says, Elokono Dayonoch, which means to say is, Elokono means our God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is your judge. So Ben Yoni now comes and says, in Chassidus, by the way, this idea is developed, and Rabbi Yoni is saying it in his own way, as Rishonim would write. In the world of Chassidus, it's written, in more of an esoteric type of a way, and that is that even though we keep saying, Ahava, Ahava, Ahava Hashem, Ahava Hashem, but there has to be a balance. There also has to be a mid of Yira. Yira means to have, you have to have awe. You have to stand in awe, understanding the greatness of Hashem, so you have to have a balance on that. You have Ahava, which is love, and then you have Yira. Yira means, yes, a certain amount of fear, like somebody goes in front of you, a melech b'sadam, right? You go to a president, you go into a melech, but you stand there with fear. You think you might say the wrong thing. Maybe you might, something might happen, and he might be slighted. Maybe you won't speak with derech eretz, because you probably review 500 times the one statement that you can probably say to that melech, right? It's a melech b'sadam, big deal, right? No, you can review 100 times exactly the exact words, not more, no less, right? So you have to have yirat HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. So it says, Rabbi Yoni. It says, Hashem is a judge. Kloyma Hashem hu ha-shofet alecho. Hashem, of course, is the one who rules you, who judges you. Hametzav alecho l'avdoi. The nois and schar, and Hashem rewards those the mahalchim l'fonov, the emes u'betomim. On the one hand, He rewards those who walk in His path trustingly and with integrity. And the nifra min achoitim. But He punishes those who commit sins, who oivrim al mitzvosoi, who violate the commands. Retzaloyma. What we mean to say is as follows. Even though a person, right, we said, should serve Hashem out of love, but Yavod Be'ema Be'ira, it's a very interesting thing. It would seem to be right that these have two contradictory properties. Love, right, is one type of an emotion. Yira is a different type of an emotion. When it comes to serving Hashem, you have to have both emotions. You have to have both emotions, you have to have a balance. You have a Havo, but at the same time you have to have Yira, which means you have to understand that Hashem rules the world, and the Yeda Shesh Oyni Shigmu, we have to understand that there, yes, when the Yud Gimel Ikrim is that we have to 13 foundations of faith that the Rambam says you have to believe, right, in Schar Veinish. You have to believe that you're held accountable, whatever you do, for better or for worse. So the Yeda, yes, you are Oyvid Me'ahava, but you have to understand at the same time, Shesh Oyni Shigmu, that there is something that is called punishment, and there is reward. Because the word Elikim, B'chol Mokan Din, the word Elikim means Din. And this idea that we're saying comes to refute the theories of the non-believers and the philosophers. They're divided, the people, non-believers are divided into three categories. Now, the problem is, he says three categories and only enumerates like two. That's a mystical problem. And therefore, in the edition of the Shara Veda from Rabbi Yomin Zilber, so he suggests that Rabbi Yoni really is referring to something that we find in the Ramban, as we're going to mention in a second, and maybe make just a slight shinu of the wording here in Rabbi Yoni, or maybe just to understand a little bit differently. Let's see what he's saying. He's saying basically that they're divided into three groups. There are three groups that the non-believers are divided into three groups, three different levels. He points out now, he says, V'kulam moedim she'esham elokah. That might change a little bit. Because on the one hand, he's saying they all believe, he's talking about those, let's assume that they believe there is a God. And many people do. But to what extent? But they don't believe that there's punishment and reward. There are people like that. In other words, what they say, like, Hashem created, right? There was a God who created the world. They understand that the world couldn't happen out of nothingness, out of itself. But now Hashem created the world and it goes out itself. And that Hashem left that world. He abandoned that world. I'll give you an example. A child has a toy, right? So you have to wind it. You wind it, so you wind it, and then it goes by itself. Just it goes. Like you can walk away and just things happen by itself. The other believers, Hashem created the world, but he wound it up. He created the world, and now he leaves the world, but things happen with chance to chance. Happening just happen by itself. There are those, that's also called non-believers. There's also second level non-believers, means that there's no accountability for your actions. They say, even if they believe that there is a God in the world, but they say that there's no Einish Gmul, there's no retribution, and there's no reward. And the Einish Gmul, they say, Ozal Hashem Esaris, they say Hashem abandoned the world, they just left the world, he forsake the land. Shehei Mesirim, these people are removing the Hashgochim and Abayra Briyoso. They're denying Hashem's involvement in the Hashgochim protest. They're denying Hashem's Hashgochim. They're denying Hashem's involvement in the destiny of the world and its inhabitants. If you look at Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, Ramban really mentions three groups, the following. Ramban says the first group are those who b'chlal don't believe in the Creator. That's the first group. Fortunately, there are many, many like that. They are atheists. They don't believe. So that one group are people simply just don't believe in a Creator. That's one group. Then he said the second group, they believe in a Creator, says Rambam, but they do not believe in reward and punishment. There's a Creator, but now I can do whatever I want. Hashem created the world, and now we're on our own. Whatever we do, we do. And we gain, what we lose in this world. And that's it. And then we have a third group, says Ramban, that believe that although there is a Creator, but he does not control the destiny of the world. Does not have anything to do with the world. Just leaves this thing happen as a world. And therefore when you have earthquakes, you have all these things, explain it like scientifically and so on and so forth. And he says it's not Hashem is doing it because Hashem has his reason. No, there's no plan, there's nothing. Whatever happens just happens, you know, the science just takes its course, and that's the way it is. So these are the various different groups. So Kaponim, so Ben Yehuda says that of course our belief is completely right, the opposite in all three levels. We know of course there's a Creator, and we know that there is reward and punishment, and we also know Hashem, there's a Shvach HaProtis, Hashem does supervise, and really he's hands on in everything that takes place here in the world. Alright, so this is the segment of Ben Yehuda. So we have here on the sheet actually, so we're actually Kachonim for the Yom Tov of Shuas, so we're going to take a look at our side, take the sheet. And we'll find out a little bit coming up to the Yom Tov Shuas what our obligations really are regarding to the Yom Tov Shuas. And the Nikuda, we start out first of all over here. This is quoted here from the Sefer Masas Moshe. Masas Moshe Sichas Musa was Hagoyen Rav Moshe Chevroini. Rav Moshe Chevroini was the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, Zichrono Brocha. His father-in-law was Moshe Malch Epstein. He was the one who was the founder of the Yeshiva of Chevron. Unfortunately, we know what happened in 1929 when the Arabs came there and they slaughtered about 29 innocent Yeshiva Brochim and so on. That was in Chevron. Then the Yeshiva moved from Chevron to actually to Yerushalayim. So to this day, it's called Chevron. The Yeshiva is called Chevron. As many things happened, Chevron split. The two Yeshivas, Chevron. Both are called Chevron. There's a certain rift in the family situations. So the larger one, the Yeshiva's Chevron today is in Givat Mordechai, which is in Yerushalayim. Very large Yeshiva, one of the very, very choshev Yeshivas. Hundreds of Talmidim. Rosh Yeshiva, there's a David Kohn, a tremendous Rosh Yeshiva, and a great Baal Iwan and a Baal Mazber. So let's take a look here. Rav Moshe Chevroini, I said, was the son-in-law of Rav Moshe Malch Epstein. He was an ex-Rosh Yeshiva after his father-in-law passed away. Was Nifter. By the way, Rav Moshe Malch Epstein was a brother-in-law of Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. They were sons-in-law from the same house. The house, the father-in-law's name was Frank. Frank. So they were both married into the same family. And they were brothers-in-law. And of course, you know, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer was the father-in-law of Rabbi Aaron Kotler. Okay. So Rav Moshe Chevroini brings down and says that this is in the middle of an essay. So the Zel Gama Kabbalah Satori Shesh B'chol Shor. He wants to explain what's Kabbalah Satori every year. Let's face it, Mamad HaSinai was a few thousand years ago. We already accepted the Torah. So what's the point every year Shavuos when Kabbalah Torah again? What's the point? Let's say for whatever reason, right? I sleep through the entire Shavuos, right? Does that mean I would not mekabel the Torah? Does it mean that this year I'm off? I have to be mekabel the Torah every year new. What's the new Kabbalah Satori? Kabbalah is a Kabbalah, finished. Done. We're Mekabel the Torah, we receive the Torah, we are bound to it. You can't shake out of it. And that's what it is. It's for all time. Abiyas HaMashiach, Hatzov Kol HaDoiros. So what's the idea? Every year, a renewal of Kabbalah Sefer. So it brings down and said the following, because we see in the Svarim HaKadoshim, Sheyesh Chiyuv B'chol Chag HaShavuot L'Kabbalah Sefer. So what does it mean? What are you mekabel now? What are you mekabel now that you were not mekabel, right, thousands of years ago? Or let's say better. What are you mekabel now that you're not mekabel yesterday, last year? Last year also had Shavuos, right? 2 years ago. So every year you're mekabel over and over again, the same thing. What are you mekabel? What are you accepting upon yourself? What's happening new every year? What does Kabbalah Sefer mean? By the way, who said that Shavuos is Kabbalah Sefer? Maybe we're commemorating a Kabbalah Sefer that was. Shavuos is a Yom Tov commemorating. Who says that every Shavuos is a new Kabbalah Sefer? Who says? The Chinuch says that. I mean, the Gedolei Rishayim. Let's take a look. The Chaim Ura B'Chinuch, Mitzvah Shin Vov. The Chinuch tells us, what is the reason of Sefiras HaOmer? The Chinuch says, the B'tam Sefiras HaOmer, Mimochros, Alav, the Pesach. We start counting, right? From the first day after Pesach, not the second day of Pesach, Archag Yeshur Zer Rishayim. Alright? Here's the lesson of the Chinuch. In most cases, the Chinuch usually, by the way, follows the derech of the Rambam. That's his style. But he gives Tameh HaMitzvahs. The Inyan of the Chinuch is not only Minyan HaMitzvahs, but also the Tameh HaMitzvahs, giving reasons for Mitzvah. Again, giving reasons that we should be able to feel a little better about it. But these, of course, just reasons on the surface. The depth of any Mitzvah, you know, just goes beyond. There's only with Hashem's knowledge to really know what the real depth, full depth of any Mitzvah. So he said like this, what's the idea of Sefiras HaOmer? We can't sefer it, like 49 days, 50th day Shavuos. What does the Chinuch say? Mishorosh HaMitzvah, he says, the shorosh of the Mitzvah is Altzad HaPshat. Altzad HaPshat, that is, not any shtick, push it Altzad HaPshat, the simple, straightforward level. The feast you call Ikur and Shal Yisrael, Ein Ela Torah. The whole Ikur, the whole definition of being a Yid, the whole definition of being a Yid is the Torah. As a matter of fact, you see how far the world has gone to the left, I mean completely to the left. Somebody pointed out to me there was a conference of some rabbis somewhere out way far in Long Island. The topic is, they had a panel of three different rabbis, and there was some sort of a debate. The debate, you know what the topic was? Do you have to believe in God to be Jewish? That's the topic. So, here, let's come to Chinuch. So the Chinuch right away says, the fish called Ikur and Shal Yisrael, Ein Ela Torah. That is the essence of a Yid. And it's because of the Torah, Nibru Shemayim V'Yoris. The whole purpose of creating Shemayim V'Yoris was because of the Torah, and because of the Jewish people. Kumash Yikosov, the Pesuk says clearly, Imloi Berisi, if not for my Torah, Bris is the Torah, the covenant. Yom V'Lailo, the Pesuk says, right? Yom V'Lailo, Chuk Shemayim V'Yoris L'Samti, with the disciplines of Shemayim V'Yoris, I would not have put into place. And that was the main reason of Yetzias Mitzrayim, was why? To be able to arrive to Har Sinai. The whole purpose of taking us out of Mitzrayim, delivering us out of Mitzrayim, was to arrive Kabbalah Sefer. Right? That's simple. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, V'zelecha Ois, the sign I'm giving you, that I sent you, but Siachus Homer Mitzrayim, when you take it out of Mitzrayim, you will see that Tavdun Selekim, that it will serve Hashem Elohor Hazeh. Kloima, what it means is, Shedikabu HaTorah Shehi HaIker, Shebishvilzeh Hem Nigolim. It's because of that, that they are being redeemed, and that's the Taklus HaTorah. That's the Taklus HaTorah. So just to save time a little bit, just want to tell you what the Chinuch therefore is pointing out, and the Chinuch is saying, so being, that the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to Kabbalah Sefer, a Yid to show clearly that he understands that the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Kabbalah Sefer, he has to show how eager he is that he can't wait for that Zaman. You have to show how eager he is, you can't wait for that Zaman. And that's right after Pesach, which was Yetzias Mitzrayim, we count Sefirah. And the moshul that the Chinuch gives is similar to a choson who has a wedding date, right? Which is 2 or 3 months ahead. So every day he counts, oh, it's another day closer, it's another day closer, another day closer. The idea is because when you are waiting for a very special moment, every day that goes by, that is so important, oh, another day behind me, closer to my goal. We have to show that excitement. We have to show that yearning when it comes to Kabbalah Sefer. We can't feel it. Oh, another day. That's the idea of Kabbalah Sefer. Fine. But we have to understand. But what does that mean? We already mekabel the Torah. So every year we have to show that what we can't wait for Kabbalah Sefer. We already have the Torah. We have it already. It's in the Yom Kodesh, right? It's there. So what does it mean? We count Sfira. What's the point of counting Sfira every year? To show that we can't wait for Kabbalah Sotera. We already were Mekabel the Torah. To go to the next paragraph, second paragraph. Ach Yesh Levayer. Okay, here comes the Moshe Chavroni, this part. Ach Yesh Levayer, he says, we can explain it, he says. Baharei, he says, Onu, we have to explain, he says. Onu Mitzvah Voimdim. We are, he says, we are Mitzvah Voimdim. He said, being that we are Mitzvah Voimdim, we are already Mitzvah, we are already commanded. Uma Poyalim Achshu Bekabol Ashuf. What is accomplished by being Mekabel every year? What's being accomplished? Boitzor beer. Then there's another question. It's an incredible thing that probably nobody ever realized with the Yontav Yeshua's benefits every year. We think about the Day of Atonement, of course, being the Day of Yom Kippur, which finally, because we'll give a tremendous gift. There's a day in the year, which is called Yom Kippur, which a person has the opportunity, right, to wipe the slate clean. It's Yom Kippur. There's a Yerushalmi that tells us as great as Yom Kippur is, Shavuos is greater. I repeat again. As great as Yom Kippur is, to be able, again, to atone, and to be mechaper and all the Avonis and all the Averis, Shavuos is greater. What's the Yerushalmi? Let's take a look. The Nisab Yerushalmi, Rosh Hashanah, Perek Dalet. It says the following. The Misharashi B'Shem Ravidi. The Misharashi says the name of Ravidi. B'chol HaKorbono is Ksiv Chet. You know, in the Musaf, if you pay attention to the laning, in the Musaf it says, Usi Izim Echod Lechatos. Usir is a mechod, right, a young goat, lechatos, right, which is a chatos, which is a carbon, right, for the sake of atonement. Shavuos, it also says to bring the same goat, it doesn't say the word lechatos. By the Musaf of Shavuos, it does not say, in the Kriyas HaParsha, it does not say lechatos. Sir is him, echod, one sir is him. Why is it? Why is it by Shavuos, it doesn't say the word chet? Look at the Yerushalmi answers. B'chol HaKorbonos K'siv Chet U'Batzeres Ein K'siv Chet B'Batzeres Ein K'siv Chet Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mikim Shekibaltem Aleihem Oil Toiro Malan Yaleichem Keili Lo Yechatosem Yoilom. It's happily with Ella. If you're Mekabel the Torah Shavuos, it's like you never had a Chet. I don't need the Sirism Lechatos, because when you're Mekabel, if you accept upon yourself the yoke of Torah, it's as if you never were Chet. Which means to say is that Shavuos therefore is greater than Yom Kippur. Take a look. V'hainu. That Seris ordered Mirosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim. So understands Rav Moshe Chavroni from that Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is telling us that Shavuos is greater than Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippur. Why? Sha'afilu b'tshuva achi gedoilo. Because even the greatest Shuvah, we know that certain Averis, that Shuvah is not enough, that we need Yisurim also. Sha'afilu is said b'tshuva achi gedoilo yeshtum chatoim shlisagi v'Yom Kippurim. And there's a reshim chet benefesh. There is an impression left of the chet that you need still Yisurim to wipe it out. For example, Chil Hashem, Chazal say, even Yisurim. Chaz Hashem, sometimes it's death for Chil Hashem. But then Yoyna, by the way, Yishai Shuvah tells us, there's a tikkun for Chilul Hashem, for desecrating Hashem's name. You don't have to necessarily die. What you have to do, make a Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is the tikkun for Chilul Hashem. But in any case, we see that it's Dalet Chiluke Kapora. There's four different levels of Kapora. Certain Averis need different Oinshim. Shuvah is not enough for every Averis. The ilu bekabola solteira, but the mikayim ashvuah solteira batzeres have a ki ilu loychotem yoyom. She ain shum roishem achet benafshoy. It's like tinuk shenoy, like a child that's born. What's coming out of Yerushalmi? In other words, every other aveira, there's an aveira, and now you need tshuva. Well, if the aveira is existing and you need tshuva, well, some aveiras tshuva helps. Some aveiras you need more. You might need yisurim. You might need yisurim. But what Shavuos does, it eliminates as if it never was an aveira. Malan aleichem kilu lochatosem yoylam. So the kabbalas of Torah is mechaper on all of the things that even Yom Kippur is not capable of doing. Kabbalas of Torah stands above Yom Kippur, that Akadosh Baruch Hu considers if you never ever sinned. That's what doesn't say chet. So he wants to explain it. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to explain. What is that korach? What is the secret of Kabbalah Soteria? That Malani Aleichem I consider as if you never sinned. What does that mean? The Torah Lehovin. He says, Amai Havi, why is it Alde Kabbalah Soteria Kilu Loichot HaKlal? Right? And then the second question. The Chen Tzorach Bia, the second question. What's the idea of being Mekabel every year? What are we being Mekabel every year? We were Mekabel last year. We were Mekabel 2,000 years ago. What's being Mekabel every year? What does it mean? Mapo Yelis HaKabbalah Kol Shona. Go down to the second paragraph. The Nira. He brings a very beautiful Gemara. The Nira is a big Gemara, but Metzid HaPedalot. you might be familiar that the great, great Amora Rish Lakish, one of the greatest, Rish Lakish, in his previous life, he was a Rish Alistan. He was the head of a band of robbers. Rish Lakish, in his previous life, before he turned, he did tshuva. Before, he said, not only did tshuva, he became one of the greatest teachers of Torah. He was the chaver and was the rival in the Baal Plukta of Rabbi Yochanan, and so on and so forth. Rabbi Yochanan made him into a Baal tshuva. He was a Rosh Alistim. He was not some a robber. He was the head of the bank of robbers. He was the head of the band of robbers. He was the head. He had all the cover in the world. He was leading those robbers, and so on. The Maisa was the following. This is the way the Rebbe Shlom orchestrated it. Yom Echad, said the Gemara of Metzia, have a Kosochi, Rabbi Yochanan beYarden. Rabbi Yochanan was bathing in the Yarden, the Jordan River. Rish Lakish at that time, was a bandit. Literally, he's a bandit. And he sees someone bathing. He thought it was a woman. Being that he thought it was a woman, he had tremendous strength, physical strength. In one jump, from wherever he was standing, he was able to jump many, many yards that landed right into the water, and then he says, hey, it's not a woman, it's a man. It's Rabbi Yochanan. Surprise. So the Gemara tells, listen to the following. So the Gemara says, Yom Echad had a Kesoch Rabbi Yochanan b'yarden, Rabbi Yochanan was swimming, was bathing in the yarden. Chazari Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish saw him. Shava means he jumped. He spanned. Shava l'yarden abasrei. Rabbi Yochanan saw this tremendous physical strength. What did Rabbi Yochanan said? Chelech l'alai said the Torah could use that kind of a koyach. If you'd only use that strength, give it to the Torah. What are you giving it to this world? You know you can make contribution. The Torah could use that koyach. So he brings the Gemara b'kitzer, because they said, so what the Gemara says. So he says to him, when he said to them that your koyach is for Torah. So Rish Lakish says your beauty should be for women, not for a man. Because the Gemara says was a tremendous hadras upon him. The Gemara says besides the brachas. So Rabbi Yochanan says, first of all, by the way, what Rabbi Yochanan did, you cannot imagine anybody in this generation or even 25 generations before. Rabbi Yochanan says, listen, you press the way I look. I have a sister that outdoes me. If you do tshuva, I give you my sister for a wife. Can you imagine? I'm going to use it in Melansky. I use a name, right? And you go over to Melansky and say, if you do tshuva, you know, I'll give you my sister for a shidduch. You know, how about doing tshuva? Forget about me. Think about the Gadol Hador. Think about the Gadol Hador saying, you know, you become my brother-in-law, I'll give you my sister. He did. Rish Lakish did tshuva. The moment he did tshuva, listen to that, he tried to jump back to get his clothing. He couldn't do it anymore. Why? So Rashi says, Torah matesh es koicho shel adam. When a person becomes connected to Torah, your physical being becomes weaker. Look at the Gemara. Kibbul alei, he was mekabel upon himself. Rish Lakish was mekabel himself. Boy on the head, he wanted to jump back. Lasu yamani, he wanted to bring his clothing. Lemosa hoder. He couldn't go back. He was not able to jump back. He could walk back. He could swim back. Rashi wasn't able to jump back. Why? The mishkibul all of Torah toshash koicho became weak. Question. You know, Torah matesh es koicho shalom, the Torah weakens a person. You know how that is? You can imagine a yeshiva bochen a yeshiva, right? He's learning yeshiva for 6 months. He's learning like 15 hours a day. He doesn't eat properly. He doesn't sleep properly. He's such a big masmid. He's so diligent. He's still learning. After 6 months, it takes a toll of a shvach. This is shlokhish, is still wet. He didn't open up a gemara yet. He didn't learn anything. How did he become weak? When did Torah matesh es koicho shalom? When did the Torah make him weak? What did he do for Torah at that time? What did he do for Torah? What's the Torah Matesh is Korach HaShalom at that time? It should be premature. The Torah Matesh is Korach HaShalom. The Torah will hold him. Otu Mishahichu Benapshi. If somebody decides, I want to become a Baal Tshuva, right there and then. Right? If somebody becomes Lavoid. Let's say the other way around. If somebody lets in his mind, commits himself, I'm going to carry 25 tons of bricks. He didn't do it yet. Is he going to become weak? I commit myself, right, for the next week, month, I'm going to carry 25 tons of bricks. With commitment alone, do you become weak? Of course not. So if he committed himself to one time, why did he become weak? He just committed himself, didn't do anything. Does a commitment make you weak, just a commitment alone? Of course not. So how does the commitment to Torah make you weak? How does the commitment to be? El al-Kokoch. It means to say the following. The game is a kibble all of all Torah. When you make a kibble all Torah, what does it mean? He makabel omal atayra to toil and toil became a mitzvah karol, right, to be makai mitzvah properly, because that's the order that the Torah says, the kabbalahs do nasa mi adruchni. In other words, kabbalahs of Torah does not mean just coming to run Torah. Kabbalahs of Torah means that I'm going to become a spiritual person. When a person really commits that he's going to commit to the Torah, he right away becomes spiritual. Strength, right? Distance is all in the physical. The more spiritual a person comes, the more Torah they get person comes. Torah is totally spiritual. When I commit myself to Torah, the more I'm connected to Torah, the more spiritual I become, the less physical. To be able to jump, to bear the strength, the moment he was makabel ol Torah, he became already a spiritual person. The more spiritual his body becomes, the less physical that one has. That's what it means is. Kim shenasa ruchni, tosh karche achumri. When you learn Torah, it's not just you're learning Torah. You become a shtik Torah. When you learn Torah, it's not just the knowledge of Torah. You become a shtik Torah. If you become a shtik Torah, you're spiritual. The physical koiches are not there the same. Strength, power, that's all in the framework of physical. The more spiritual you become, your body becomes spiritual. It's not just the nishon is spiritual. Your body becomes Torah. That's what happened. So go to the next paragraph. Mishum hoche, nami, therefore. If some is makabel ol Torah batzeres, if some is makabel the ol Torah and shvuos, havekiru lo yichotu miolam. You know why? He's not the same person. When he was chayta, he was a physical person. When he's makabel ol Torah, now he'd be transformed into a spiritual person. This person now is not the person that was chayta. Yom Kippur, you realize, it's the same person that was chayta, that person doing tshuva. Oh, it's the same person. Tshuva has limitations. Certain aveiros tshuva works easier. Certain aveiros tshuva not. But a shvuas means is that kim shemekalta makabel ol Torah, now maybe you become transformed. You're no longer the old person, you become a new person. So it doesn't make a difference what the old Averis were. The old Averis were by the old person. You're not that person anymore. You are now a ruchnizig person. Therefore, ma'alani aleichem kilo lochatosim yolun. So the Avodah Rabbeisa is, spiritual has no measure. Physical has time and space. Spiritual has no measure. The Avodah of Kabbalah Satorah every year is, we should become more spiritual being. We should become more shtik Torah. So maybe last year we were successful, hopefully to some degree. There's no end in, right? There's no end to the degree that a person is able to become more spiritual and more spiritual. The avoid of Kabbalah Satayr is they become more Torah, but not Kamesh Tik Torah. That's what the Yom Tov Shavuos. The Teretz is what we show on Shavuos is that we transform the physical into Ruchnis. That's the Avodah of Shavuos. That's Amalach. You say cannot do what we can do because we are able to take the physical and make into Ruchnis. That's the Avodah. They talk about that. But look at it very quickly. I've now just a half a minute. Turn the sheet on the side. Look number four. It's a very beautiful Maaseh of Rosh Yeshiva Baltimore, and that is Rav Ruderman. It's a very, 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 very famous Maaseh. Let's take a look. Look number four. So the Maaseh like this. The Oid Sipur Noisa. There's another story that Rosh Yeshiva Baltimore, Rav Ruderman, related. He says, in Pen Shel Nime Ishis, he says, even though it was talking about himself a little bit, Hameir Al Gadlusoi, he was talking about, go to the next paragraph because I have to set time here. Look, Ho Yosef. Listen to this. Ho Yosef. Next paragraph. The bottom. The same column. Ho Yosef, he said, Rav Ruderman said, listen. Ho Yosef said, Yosef ben Yudalich, I was 14 years old. Lamarez the Yosef Yeshiva Slobodsky Bekovne. I was a Talmud in Slobodsky and Kovne. Listen to this. Ube'er v'sheshona kobalti elatzmi l'sayim es ha-shas kuloi b'meshech zman choyer v'ar ha-pesach. Can you believe that? He goes into Slobodsky, he's 14 years old. He's 14 years old. Every Shoshana is Makabel Bonzai, he's going to finish us. I can imagine he started already before. But he's going to finish us. He says, the winter's man is going to pass. By Pesach time, he's going to finish us. He's 14 years old. He's learning in Slobodsky. So what happened? Go to the next column, to the left. Vinei be'oi terem hischel azman, before the news man started, and Chof Tes Tishrei, but the news man after Yont, after Sukkot, he gave a doily yeshiva, a telegram, let's say, came to the yeshiva, ki Ovizal, his father, Shovak Chaim Chachai. Rav Ruderman lost his father while he was yeshiva, 14 years old. Rav Ruderman lost his father. He lost his mother when he was 7 years old. So now he's 14 years old. He's in yeshiva. He made a commitment, he says, right, the next 6 months he's going to finish us. Meantime, he finds out before this month starts, before the season starts, he finds out that what? His father died. He didn't find out. Rosh Yeshiva found out. Ha'alta, the altar of Slobodka, the great Balmusa, the altar of Slobodka, who knew that I committed to try to finish us, did not tell me that my father died. Not giving me the opportunity to say Kaddish for my father. Can you believe what happened? Not giving me the opportunity to say Kaddish for my father. Ha'alta sheyoda al-kabalosi. The altar knew my Kabbalah, my commitment there for Shoshana. I made a commitment. Shoma belibo is hayadia. He kept it within himself. Al petiras ovi. Adla acha shesayamte sashasas. Only after when I finished Shas, he came to tell me. Kishisha chadoshim la acha sheklar hisyasamte. 6 months after I lost my father, only then did he tell me. I didn't understand. How'd you let 6 months go by without telling me I lost my father? Rak Oz, it was only then, after I finished us, Nigash Eli Alta Bepiv. Shmuel Yeshana was already an old Shmuel, right? It was old news already, 6 months ago. He's giving me now old news. Well, come on, Miss Natsa, but he wanted to really excuse himself why he did that. Your Shas is more than the Kaddish. If I would have told you what happened, Avelis, mourning, Kaddish, yes, would not have finished Shas. The true benefit for your father's neshama is finishing Shas. That's much more than the Kaddish. That's the cheshem that the Yalta made. That's the Kaddish HaTayr, Rabbi Yisai. That's what Shavuos is all about. We don't need Rabbi Yisai to learn for somebody else's neshama. Let's learn for our own neshama. And that's Hashem to be zeichet, the Kabbalah HaTayr, Ternachas, Vesim, Rabbi Yisai.